KNOM Update News. I'm Matthew Smith, and it's 9:02. As the state legislature extends its session, due to unfinished business Monday, voters will see three statewide ballot initiatives scheduled initially for the August primary ballots pushed to the state's November general election instead. Lieutenant Governor Mead Treadwell's office wrote in a statement Monday afternoon that the three initiatives pushed back include one requiring legislative approval of large-scale mining projects in the Bristol Bay region, another intending to legalize recreational marijuana use statewide, and a third, which would raise the state's minimum wage. KTUU reports that barring the passage of a substantially similar piece of legislation, unlikely after this state in the session, all three initiatives will be on the general election ballot on November 4th. Treadwell's office wrote that all three will still fall under standard initiative procedures despite the delay, including legally mandated public hearings in each of the four judicial districts at least 30 days before the election. A fourth initiative asking Alaskans whether they want to repeal Senate Bill 21, that's Governor Sean Parnell's oil tax reform package passed during last legislative session in 2013, will still appear on the August 19th primary ballot. The reason why that initiative remains on the August ballot is because it seeks to repeal a law. The other initiatives aim to create new laws, a process that follows a different schedule. And after weeks of debate and marathon hours over the past few days, lawmakers have still yet to reach an agreement on sending money to Alaska schools, and that's holding up the state capital budget. Disagreements over Governor Sean Parnell's education bill are keeping both the House and the Senate in Juneau beyond the 90-day session, which was scheduled to end Sunday before it was extended by lawmakers. While the Senate approved an additional $300 million for local education on Monday, it removed a significant source of education funds from the bill. Although the House members had approved a $185 increase in the base student allocation, that's the amount that the state gives to school districts each year for every student they educate, the Senate version of the same bill would provide that money outside of the BSA formula. The House and Senate are done with their plan to reconvene at 11 o'clock this morning. In the meantime, a six-person conference committee will meet this morning to draft an education bill that both the House and the Senate can agree on. U.S. Senate candidate Joe Miller kicked off his campaign in Wasilla Monday night before 100 cheering supporters. Amid prayer and patriotic songs, Miller and those introducing him talked about God, guns, and the mistrust of the federal government. Miller drew cheers as he hit on popular Tea Party themes such as abolishing the IRS and ending state surveillance.
They need to understand that the people have had it. They've had it. That's why you're here today. This is about we the people. It's not about Joe Miller. It's about restoring you to your rightful position, where government is the servant and you are the master.
Miller got the nomination from his party the last time he ran, but he lost to a write-in campaign by now Republican Senator Lisa Murkowski. His references to the undoing of that campaign were limited to a passing reference to the incident involving his security team handcuffing a journalist who tried to interview him. Miller made the aside as he was introducing his four young children who were also on stage with him in Wasilla. And when it comes to the history of the Beringia region, the shaking in northwest Alaska has not yet stopped. After being rattled by a 5.6 earthquake Friday morning, the strongest quake the region has seen in more than 30 years, aftershocks continued through the weekend and into Monday in the far western edges of the Brooks Range. Natasha Rupert is a seismologist with the Alaska Earthquake Center in Fairbanks.
Since Friday morning after the main shock, we recorded about 40 aftershocks. And on Sunday, there were actually three aftershocks with magnitudes 4 and greater, ranging between 4.4 and 4.7.
Rupert says it's not unusual to see a series of aftershocks after a strong quake, especially after one that ranks as the biggest on record for the region.
This is pretty normal for a large earthquake to generate multiple aftershocks, and some of these aftershocks can be also quite significant magnitude and can be felt in nearby communities.
That's not the case in nearby Noatak, about 20 miles southwest of where most of the aftershocks have originated. The Earthquake Center says that the people they're in touch with on the ground there say they haven't felt the tremblers since Friday's first quake. It's a similar story for the zinc miners at the nearby Red Dog Mine. Rupert says that it would take some time before the ground finally stopped shaking in the Northwest.
I think for at least a couple of weeks, people should not be surprised if they feel another aftershock.
The latest trembler came just after 10 o'clock Monday morning, a significant 2.9 shaker just 10 miles from Noatak. And last week in Gamble was the Bering Strait School District's annual Native Youth Olympics tournament. Students from 13 communities in the region competed in stick pole, two-foot high kick, seal hop, and more. Jeff Erickson is the district's activities director. He says in the overall competition, the teams from Unalakleet and Teller were separated by just a single point.
On the team scores, we've never had a 1 point separate the top two teams. And again, that came down to the boys' seal hop where Unalakleet placed. They had the first place and the fourth, and so that moved them 1 point ahead of Teller.
Third place went to the tournament host, the Gamble Kooksakut. The Unalakleet Wolfpack also boasted the top all-around athlete for the boys' competition. Aisha Johnson is a senior and took first in four events.
Two-foot high kick, one-foot high kick, one-arm reach. I'm going for seal hop, too.
Johnson hit 98 inches in the Canadian one-foot high kick and beat Teller's Cameron Okbiak because he did it in one less miss. Erickson says in the girls' competition, things were just as close.
Well, for most outstanding, it was really a dogfight. On the girls' side, it was really tight between both Pi Campbell and Jaslyn Garney from Teller, but in the seal hop, Pi did a little bit better, and so Pi Campbell got the outstanding for the girls.
Campbell is in the 11th grade and already has the world record for kneel jump. The home crowd in the bleachers didn't hold anything back when it came to the 3 days of events, and the crowd is one part of the reason Erickson says the BSSD was so satisfied by the tournament this year.
Gamble is traditionally always, they support their home athletes so well, and they're so vocal and loud, and yet they still support the visitors that the enjoyable part about coming out here is that they have such a strong support of student activities in general, but their kids especially.
The award for best sportsmanship went to the Teller Okluk team. And when it comes to the history of the Beringia region, researchers mostly agree that the first settlers of North America crossed the Bering land bridge about 15,000 years ago during the last ice age. But a second wave of migration took place thousands of years after the land bridge crossing, a wave archaeologists say moved from eastern Siberia to what's now Alaska, Canada, and Greenland.
These were the first human beings to enter any of those lands. So the Canadian Arctic and Greenland, they were truly pioneers. They set foot on land that had been under glaciers not too long before and had never seen other people.
Jeff Rasick is an archaeologist with the National Park Service who's researched the peoples of the Denby Flint Complex with findings near Nome, Shaktulik, Kotzebue, and Ambler. Rasick says the group is a distant ancestor to modern Inupiat and Inuit peoples, and along with their rapid migration through the circumpolar north, they brought sophisticated knowledge of hunting, boating, and more.
One of the amazing things about this time period is the technological sophistication that these folks demonstrate. They used stone tools exclusively, and they were the best tool makers, the most proficient, masterful tool makers that Alaska's ever seen before or since this period.
Through the Alaska Archaeological Association, Rasick is in Nome tonight to share his latest findings on the second wave of Beringia migration. His presentation is at Nome's Northwest Campus tonight at 6:30, and he'll be in Shaktulik tomorrow, where he'll give another presentation before returning to Anchorage. And taking a look at the price of gold this hour in New York, gold prices continued to be down by $9.50, trading at $1,281.80 an ounce. Silver down 7 cents to $19.47 an ounce. The price of zinc was at 94 cents a pound. And Alaska Airlines Flight 152 is expected to leave Nome on time at 9:30 this morning and land in Anchorage at 10:54. It's unofficially 40 degrees outside the downtown KNOM station, 12 minutes past 9 o'clock. Have a good morning.